Father, we just thank you for the beautiful song service this morning and for the song about your love. We need that, Father, more than anything else we sang about this morning. Father God, without your love, we're not going to get the breakthrough that we so desire. And Father, I'm just asking that each person that sits in here to this day, that the works you started in them, Father God, you are going to complete. Open up their spiritual ears this day, Father God, and let them hear what thus saith the Lord. And Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Excuse me, God is on the move, the devil's on the move, and the Antichrist is on the move, the angels are on the move, everybody's on the move, and I'm believing that the body of Christ is on the move, amen. That we're just not sitting around stagnant and still doing nothing. Because there's all kind of things going on out there. All right, God wants me to teach you this morning on rejection. Well, in prayer on what to teach this morning, I heard the Father say, rejection is the worst evil there is. And I want to teach my children about rejection. Now, the Bible meaning of rejection is to throw away as anything useless or vile, to cast off, to forsake, and you find that in Jeremiah 7, to refuse to receive, to slight, to despise, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will reject thee. That's in Hosea chapter 4 and 1 Samuel 15:5. Now, the dictionary definition of reject is a rejected person or thing, especially one rejected as not wanted, unsatisfactory, or not fulfilling requirements. All right. To refuse to believe, accept, or consider something. To decide not to publish something or make something available to the public because it is not good enough. That's all the dictionary definition of reject. And as you know, as God was speaking to me, and as I think about the different deliverances that we've done over the years, rejection has always been one of the worst spirits that we could deal with. It's always very, very deeply rooted, and it does not want to come forth. God said, so many in my body suffer from rejection of one form or the other. But no one was rejected as severely as my son Jesus while he walked this earth and even at his death on the cross. But my people think they are the only ones that were ever rejected, when in reality so many all over the world have been rejected in one way or the other. Let's say that again. My people think they are the only ones that were ever rejected, when in reality so many all over the world have been rejected in one way or the other. Remember how God will speak to you and say, you're not the only one in the boat. You know, you think you're the only one that's being picked on or whatever, but you're not the only one in the boat. It's happening all over the world. God said, let's talk about the spirit of rejection. What was it formed to accomplish? It was sent to destroy the very foundation my son hung on the cross to accomplish. God said that was a sure foundation, a foundation of solid rock that the enemy could not destroy, but he has found a way to destroy that foundation in the body of Christ, and that is to destroy the very fiber of a person's soul. Now remember, God made that statement. But Satan has found a way to destroy that foundation in the body of Christ, and that is to destroy the very fiber of a person's soul. God said, you see, when a person feels rejected, it destroys all other emotions, and then everything starts to fall apart, right down to the very footing. Now remember, God said that too. And when my people are no longer sure-footed, they will fall for anything. Now, let's look into rejection a little and see if we come up with an answer to how do we heal from the pains of past rejections that leak into our present situations. This is what I've been saying now. How do we heal from the pains of past rejections that leak into our present situations? Now, this is a story, something I ran across while looking up rejection. A person said, I received an email, and as I read it, I got this nagging feeling. In fact, I've been experiencing this same nagging feeling with various encounters. And then she says, rejection has a way of doing that. If not properly dealt with, it hides in our hearts, waiting for the next opportunity to rear its ugly head. As I continued to meditate on the hurt, I felt God whispering for me to look a bit deeper at what was really going on, what's going inside the wounded soul. God told her to look what's going on inside of her wounded soul. A few weeks ago, my husband was chopping some old branches on a palm tree. This is still her story. When a part of the palm shot into his finger and hit the bone. We tried to pull it out, but it was very difficult because there were layers stuck into the actual bone. Eventually, infection set in, and he had to go to the doctor, get on an antibiotic, and have the bone scraped to remove the particles that remained. Then she says, rejection can have the same effect on our souls. As I began to look deeper into the issue God had pointed me to, I realized how much my situation was similar to my husband's. Number one, I had let some tiny remnants of old rejection wounds fester in my soul, causing me to overreact in certain situations. If you listen to this, you can say, yes, that is me. Everybody in this room can say yes to this. If I didn't submit those to God, they would continue to grow. Ultimately, our hurt begins to control us, poisoning all of the relationships around us. God has done too much goodness in my life for me to allow any foothold from the enemy in. I'm so grateful that God allowed me to see the enemy's plan. He does have one. She's saying the enemy does have one. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. What does the enemy say? He wants to convince us that we are unloved, unworthy, unaccepted. Let's stop there. The problem with this generation is parents felt unloved, unwanted, and rejected, and they passed that down to this generation of people, and this is what's working in the land today. A bunch of people are feeling unloved, unworthy, and unaccepted. One of the schemes Satan uses to do this is rejection. Why? Because if we believe these things, we won't walk in the abundant life that God has for us. How many of you have been told as a child that nobody could ever love you? They said it so many times that it got down into your soul and started a wound. But God's plan is bigger and better than Satan's. His purpose is to give us a rich and satisfying life in John 10:10. And what does God say about us? In Matthew 10:31, he says, we are more valuable than a whole flock of sparrows. Doesn't he? And that's in Matthew 10:31. We are fearfully and wonderfully made in Psalm 139:13 through 16. He loves us so much that he gave his son for us in John 3:16. His love for us endures forever in Psalm 136:26. So God's word says, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. He loves us so much that he gave his son for us. His love for us endures forever. He says, we are no longer orphans, but have been adopted into his kingdom as his children. And you'll find that in John 14:18 and Romans 8:16. He chose us as his special possession in 1 Peter 2:9. We are loved, worthy, and accepted. I want each one of you in here this morning to get that down into your spirit. You are loved, worthy, and accepted. Some of us need to have duct tape and put it on our mouths and keep our mouths shut when we're upset because we throw these things at people around about us and cause that wound to get bigger and bigger. When the pain of past rejection comes up, we have the power to declare what God's word says about us. Excuse me. When the pain of past rejection comes up, we have the power to declare what God's word says about us. When we feel that no one understands the depth of pain or hurts we've experienced, we can be sure that El Roi, the God who sees us, sees every bit of it. His word is a love letter to us, convincing us of his love and acceptance. So, how do we overcome rejection in life? So I said his word is a love letter to us, convincing us of his love and acceptance. I started another teaching early this morning. God said that hate, the epitome of hate, has finally converged on the world. And we see that if you read the newspapers, if you watch the TV, hate is everywhere. Hate is in families. And hate keeps growing and growing and growing. We need to get into God's word. And it's, I said his word is a love letter to us, convincing us of his love and acceptance. So how do we overcome rejection in life? We do it by declaring what God says about us. As we declare his word over us, we are reminded who we are and whose we are. The reason why you can't get past rejection is because you don't know whose you are. I'm just like you. When I was first born again, I felt rejected, unloved, and unwanted. And I had built my walls too. And when I was at a prayer meeting, somebody said, "Do you know, you don't know how much Jesus loved you?" I said, "Yes, I do." And he said, "No, you don't, but you're going to find out." And I am still finding out to this day, 30-some years later, how much God really does love me. Each and every day when you wake up, there's something's going to happen in your life that's going to show you how much God truly does love you. All right? So I said, how do we overcome rejection in life? Declaring what God says about us. As we declare his word over us, we are reminded who we are and whose we are. The word of God is a shield that quenches the fiery arrow of rejection. Every time you that wound of rejection is deep down, if you haven't been delivered from it, every time it rears its ugly head, you need to tell the devil whose you are. I belong to the Most High God. He's my Father and he loves me and he never rejects me. He never walks away from me. No, it doesn't matter if nobody else in the world wants me. God wants me. He accepts me for who I am. He loves me for who I am. And I am important in his eyes. See, we need to get that down into our spirit first. And then when people in the natural come at us, it won't bother us. Because we're already rooted and grounded in the fact that we are God's and we are desperately loved. Are you under? See, so many people are trying to find God out of total hurt, and they don't understand God found them already, and he's trying to get rid of all that rejection and all that hurt so we can be vessels of honor for him to work through. All right, the word is a shield that quenches the fiery arrow of rejection. Note, sometimes a circumstance causing our pain is epic. Perhaps we have suffered a miscarriage, or we have a child on drugs, one in jail, or one that has died from an overdose. Maybe a husband has just confessed to infidelity, or we've been served with divorce papers. But even if the genesis of our pain is less earth-shattering, pain is still pain. Pain is still pain. And if left unchecked, its effects can be emotionally crippling and spiritually debilitating. Spiritually debilitating. There's 10 indicators a spirit of rejection is tormenting you. A spirit of rejection victimizes its prey by causing them to feel worthless and unwanted. And I know that everybody sitting here this morning, you can say amen, amen to that. It employs a spirit of self-pity as its right-hand man to drive people away and allow abandonment and isolation to move in. Repeat that again. A spirit of rejection victimizes its prey by causing them to feel worthless and unwanted. It employs a spirit of self-pity as its right-hand man to drive people away. You really drive people away from you by doing this, and allow abandonment and isolation to move in. So you have all these spirits working. All right, a spirit of rejection taunts with one failure after another and hopes you will say, I give up. I've tried and I tried and I tried and I just can't make it. Don't give up. Don't give up. You're going to make it. Question, do you have a spirit of rejection at work in your life? And I think the majority of us can say, yes, I do. In one way, shape, or form. Yes, I do. It's not a sin to have a spirit of rejection. The sin is that we deny we don't have it. Because the sin of denying you don't have it keeps the spirit of rejection in there, in your soul, and it keeps festering. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Everyone experiences rejection sometime, but here are 10 potential indicators of a demonic spirit at work. 10 fruits of the spirit of rejection at work in your life. Number one, you find yourself comparing your circumstances or situations with others, and you never seem to measure up. Come on. A lot of us can say that. Number two, you feel like you missed out on life's opportunities and now it's too late. Number three, no amount of encouragement is enough to convince you of your worth. Number four, you feel rejected if you are not greeted or acknowledged by leadership. Number five, you constantly seek the approval of others and suffer from people pleasing. You always want somebody to pat you on the back and say everything's fine. You did a good job. All right, number five, you constantly seek the approval of others and suffer from people-pleasing. Number six, you are easily offended or embarrassed from discipline or correction. Doesn't do you any good to sit in here, does it? You can't have that sitting in here. Number seven, you are always trying to prove yourself in public. Number eight, you feel like you are on the outside looking in during interactions with people. You don't ever quite fit in. And number nine, you think you could do a better job than the current leader or teacher if you're given the opportunity. Number 10, you believe no one understands you or what you are going through. That's a big one right there. You believe no one understands you or what you are going through. As I work with the body of Christ and watch the body of Christ, that is the biggest indication that you're operating in a spirit of rejection. If you recognize these signs, don't throw in the towel. Conviction that leads to confession, repentance, and deliverance from the spirit leads to freedom, not defeat. Let's read that again. If you recognize these signs, don't throw in the towel. Conviction that leads to confession, repentance, and deliverance from the spirit leads to freedom and not defeat. You can say, you know, I have that spirit of rejection operating in me, and I want it out of me. Right? God is answering the cry of your heart by shedding light on the lies you believe that have sabotaged your destiny and your identity. God is answering the cry of your heart, set me free from rejection, by shedding light on the lies you believe that have sabotaged your destiny and your identity. And this is what God is doing in the house today. He wants you to deal with rejection. And he's shining his light on this spirit today. It's up to you whether you receive his light or refuse his light. It's up to you whether you deny you're walking in rejection or know that you're walking in rejection. And if you're not sure, then there's one sure thing to do, and that's get a deliverance. If it isn't in there, it's not going to come out. Amen. if you recognize these symptoms, what can you do? Until you are ready to go through deliverance from this spiritual torment of rejection, here are a few steps you can take today. And I just told you, your best thing you can do is go through deliverance and get that thing out of you. You know, I was thinking, contemplating on this, meditating on this, just on deliverance as a whole yesterday. And I said, God, you never used to hear of deliverance. But as you look back over the times, people were really demon-possessed ever since day one. And nobody wanted to address the situation. Nobody wanted to come to grips that a child of God sitting in the house of God could have demons operating inside of them. I mean, who wants to think that or believe that? But it is the truth. And this is the truth that God has been bringing out ever since we started church. We've been doing deliverance. We started doing deliverance. I started doing deliverance with another church. And we started church. We just did deliverance from day one. Now, if you will get a deliverance, you will find that your ministry will grow. Because why will it grow? Because you are a whole person instead of half a person. And all those demons that are inside of you, plaguing you and making you do things you don't want to do, won't be there no more. And so all that you will be doing is doing the will of the Father. Period. Without any interference from the enemy. All right? All right, I said, if you recognize these symptoms, what can you do? Now, pray for the revelation of God's love to show you who you are to Him. And He's having me teach on love here in a day or two. You have to know without a shadow of a doubt that God loves you. If you don't know that, you're always going to operate in rejection. Because you're never going to trust anybody until that rejection is taken out of you. I was 50 years old when I found out I was operating in rejection. And I wasn't going to let anybody get anywhere near me because you were never going to hurt me ever again. I was never going to feel the hurt of rejection, the pain of rejection ever again. But God, in His great mercy and grace, freed me of that so I could become a whole person. Because until you're freed of rejection, you're not a whole person. You just are not. There's a part of you held in bondage by the enemy. All right, I said to pray for the revelation of God's love to show you who you are to Him. There is nothing that you can do to earn His love. He already loves you. If you are a parent, you know that when you first held your child, you didn't give that child a laundry list of expectations in order to earn your love. The minute that baby was born, you were in love. Allow that love from your Heavenly Father to enter your heart, the same love you had for your child. Then some people didn't want their children, so if that's one of you, you know, you need to get love, all right? But I'm talking to people who know what it is to hold your baby the first time and fall totally and deeply in love with that. When Teresa Ann got pregnant, you know, and I said, "You have a boy, don't bring him into my home." I didn't want no boy in my home. And so when she was in the hospital and had the baby, I didn't go. And my husband said, "You have to go see that child." So I went the second day, and the nurse laid this little rat in my hand. He was so tiny because it's premature, and he was red, and he was wrinkly. I felt God put such a love in my heart for that boy. He said, "This is your child to raise. You didn't carry him in your womb, but I'm giving him for you to raise up in my ways." I loved that child, and I took his picture and showed it all over work. "Isn't he beautiful?" "Oh, yes, Barbara, he's the most beautiful baby we've ever seen. He's the ugliest thing you ever want to look at." But that's the kind of love that God has for us. Somebody might look at you and say, "Boy, you're ugly and unlovable." But God looks at you and said, "You're the most beautiful thing I ever created." All right? Come on. You know, the reason why we can't love others the way we ought is because we don't feel any love inside ourselves. You can't give out something you don't have. You just can't. So if you can't give out love, then there's something wrong inside of you that needs to be fixed. All right, I said the minute that baby was born, you were in love. Allow that love from your Heavenly Father to enter your heart, because that's how God loves you. Whenever he breathed life into your nostrils, he fell totally deeply in love with you. Pray to see others through the eyes of Christ, not out of your own expectations. When you look at somebody, you don't look at them and say, well, I expect you to do this, 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 and this, and this, and then I'll love you. You look through the eyes of Christ and say, I really love you. With all your warts, I still love you. And that doesn't happen anymore, not even in the body of Christ. I don't like the way you dress. I don't like the way you look. I don't like the way you smell. I don't like where you sit in the house of God. I don't like, I don't like, I don't like. That's not God. I love you because you're my brother or my sister. I love you because, first of all, Christ loved you first. And he's told me, and he loves me, and he's told me I have to love you. But I'm not loving you because God said I have to love you. I love you just because you're you. And aren't you glad that we aren't clones? Aren't you glad? As I look around, you guys, you all have such varied personalities. That's what makes the body, is all your different personalities. I wouldn't want everybody being just the same. There would be actually no comfort in that, no joy in that. I want you to be who God made you to be. And you need to quit wanting to be somebody else. I've told this story before, but I tell it again. One day I said to God, who am I? He said, I don't know. You're trying to be everybody else. I don't know who you are anymore either. I made you you. I was trying to preach like everybody else did, all right? And so then he said, I made you like you are. I made you you. You're unique. You're different. I want to use your personality to preach, but I don't know who you are. So let's go back to Barbara, and let's work through Barbara. So that's what I did. God, I'm not going to be like others. I'm going to be who you want me to be. I'm going to let you use me the way you want to use me. So each one of you in here, don't try to be a Catherine Coleman. Don't try to be a Joyce Myers. Don't try to be a Kenneth Hagin. You know, or Gloria Copeland. You be you. You and your personality are needed in the body of Christ. We don't need 10 Kenneth Copelands. You and I love all these people I named. And when I got born again, I read all their articles, and that's how I grew in God. But, you know, we don't need that. We need you. We need your honesty. We need your purity. We need your personality, period. Amen. Come on. You know, parents can really destroy a child. They really can. And so it's going to take God to bring them back to who they really are. A man can destroy a woman, or a woman can destroy a man. And it's going to take God to take all that rejection out of them to make them whole once again. Children destroy parents. By the way they talk to them, you know, you give them love after love after love, and they give you mouth after mouth after mouth. And after a bit, a parent gets upset, starts closing themselves away from you because they don't want to feel the hurt and the pain that you're throwing at them. Parents are the same as children. We all have emotions, right? We all have feelings. So why do you think a parent doesn't have feelings? God has feelings. Jesus has feelings. The Holy Spirit has feelings. The Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He'll walk away if you reject him. You know, and God, if you reject him, he gets upset with you. But Jesus is always interceding, isn't he? Always interceding. All right, pray that conviction would alert you to negative words that are coming out of your own mouth and holding you in bondage. Pray that conviction would alert you. Listen to what you're saying is what I'm saying here. Would alert you to negative words that are coming out of your own mouth and holding you in bondage. You need to start listening to what you're saying. I listen very carefully to what I'm saying, and there's times I have to go and repent. because my words did not glorify God. And every one of us in here do that. I know you little saint that doesn't. Thank God we have you in our midst too. How many of you used to think you was perfect in all of your ways? I used to think I was just it. I felt I had the best love sponge there ever was, and until God let Satan test me really hard. And then I found out my sponge was getting dry. And I had to re-wet that love sponge to get love going again. Are you listening here? You have not attained yet. All right, you need to repent for any word curses you have spoken over yourself or others in the past and break those word curses. How many of you sat and thought, you look in the mirror at yourself, but nobody could ever love this? You just cursed yourself. Well, look how I look. Who wants to look at me? You just cursed yourself. You just need to think you're the best looking thing in town. You know, this weight came on my body real quick, like, and I can't get it off. And I didn't want to look at myself in the mirror. I don't care what I buy. Nothing looks right on me. And I didn't want to leave the house. And so one day I said, you know what? I'm not the only fat person in the world. And I might not look as good in my clothes as some fat people do, but I'm still me. And I had to accept the fact that right now I can't lose this weight. Because, you see, I was on the other side of the totem pole all my life. I always thought, always made sure I was real thin, 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 thin. And then when you get heavy overnight, more or less, that's quite a shock to your system. But I've come, now I'm not going to stay heavy. I'm still trying to lose weight. But I've come to like myself as I am. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Come on. Love yourself as you are. If God can't change it, you can't either. All right, forgive those who offended you. I don't know if I said that before, but forgive those who offended you. I had to forgive myself because I offended myself. Don't you offend your own self sometimes? So forgive yourself for being so stupid. All right? All right, release all judgment that is causing you to be judged, and you'll find a judgment in Matthew 7:2. Right now you're in a battle, but you are important to God. I don't care what this rejection has done to you. You are in a battle, and you might not feel like you're anything, but you are important to God. This is one thing, Brother Mark, that you encounter on the streets all the time, don't you? The lack of, you know, rejection, no love, not wanted. Very, very low self-esteem. And it's your job to take them love, isn't it? It's your love to encourage and uplift them. That's what your job is to do. But now if you're not whole inside, and if you're walking around with rejection, you're not going to be able to really give them the full gist of what they need to have. All right, I said right now you're in a battle, but you're important to God. Don't let past defeats cause you to quit. I want to stop there and just, whenever I said about you have to give them all you have, I was listening to something that Kenneth Copeland was telling, I forgot who, the 700 Club person, and he was saying that, you know, he mentored, you know, Oral Roberts mentored him. He flew Oral Roberts' airplane. And so one time they were having a tent meeting. Maybe you heard this, but I'm going to say it anyhow. They were having a tent meeting, and Oral Roberts told Kenneth Copeland, you're going to be doing the laying on of hands today. And Kenneth Copeland got a little bit jittery because he had never done that before. And so when they went to pray for a lady, Kenneth Copeland said, in the name of Jesus. And he said, behind him was Earl Roberts, and Earl Roberts said, in the name of Jesus, come out of her right now. And she puked that cancer tumor right out of her. But Earl Roberts had said to her, don't pray until you have your faith ready. And so his faith wasn't ready, but Earl Roberts had faith. And he knew that he could speak to that tumor, and it had to come out of her. So I'm saying that to you today, get your faith going. You know, God said you could do miracles, signs, wonders, and miracles. Get your faith going. Don't allow the enemy just keep saying, come on out now in the name of Jesus. That devil isn't going nowhere. Are you listening? You have to let it know that you mean business. You have to assert your authority on that thing. All right? So that's the same way with the spirit of rejection. Tell that thing it has no more authority in you. Make it leave in the name of Jesus. All right, don't let past defeats cause you to quit. Jesus said, here, this is God speaking, the sureness of your footing, remember he says about your footing in the beginning? The sureness of your footing needs reconstructed this day. I am here in all of my glory to separate this chaff from your souls and set the captives free. So God said he was separating the chaff from the wheat. And what he was saying, which I didn't dawn on me until later, that the chaff in us, he's taking out of us and separating that chaff from the wheat. And when he's finished, all that's going to be left inside of us is the wheat in the glory of God. All right? So God said the sureness of your footing needs, remember he said in the beginning that our footing was ruined. The sureness of your footing needs reconstructed this day. I am here in all my glory to separate the chaff of rejection from your souls and to set the captives free. Where is this rejection at? In your soul. All right, reconstruct means to build or form something again after it has been damaged or destroyed. So what did God say? He wants to reconstruct what the enemy has just damaged. God said, my glory shall surely fill that area where the enemy has kept you in bondage until this day. My glory light, God said, my glory light removes all darkness and torment of the soul. God said, it surely takes my glory light to separate and divide and eliminate all manner of rejection. If the deliverance team is working with somebody and they have rejection, God said, it surely takes my glory light. So you're going to shine God's glory light on that down in that person's soul. It surely takes my glory light to separate and divide and eliminate all manner of rejection. Then God said, will you receive my glory light this day and allow it to expel all darkness, never to be bound up ever again with the futility of rejection? God this morning wants to shine his glory light into each and every one of you and set you free from the spirit of rejection. Now, it's going to be up to you whether or not you believe and then receive this glory light. And then God says, you go around singing, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And God is saying, I'm asking you this day to allow my big glory light shine upon you and set you free. We shouldn't be saying, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. We should say, this big light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Right? We're not in kindergarten anymore. So we have to take the little light, make it a big light. I'm hearing God say, make it a torch and burn the devil's kingdom down. And I believe each and every one of us in here today, you can honestly say, if you don't have rejection now, you had rejection at some point in your life. But for the grace of God, some of you are already free. But for those who are not, God really wants to shine his light upon that spirit of rejection and set you free. Why did the devil come and destroy marriages? Rejection. Because, you know, when you get married, you're so happy, it's going to be for a lifetime. And you're about as happy as a bug in a rug. But then here comes the enemy, and he destroys that marriage. So what's the first thing you feel? I wasn't good enough. I couldn't love well enough. Here come rejection after rejection after rejection. And he started that wound in your soul. Then he kept adding to it until you really cannot love properly. You cannot move with God the way you ought. And God is saying, he's done with this, and he wants to set you free. And I'm also hearing him say, if you will believe and receive, the ministry of the angels is here right now, ministering to each one of your souls, setting the captives free, taking away all that pain, that heartache, and those fears that you've had all these years, just simply from the spirit of rejection. God's also saying that some of you in here, it was not your parents who rejected you, but as you grew up in life, the things you were doing, people rejected the things you did, and it made you feel bad, feel unwanted, unworthy, and so the spirit of rejection then came in and started taking root. And then the older you got, as the older you got, the things you did, the enemy made you believe that you still weren't good enough. And so now you're full-blown, full of rejection. And even in your own heart of hearts, you believe you can't do anything right. You feel like that no matter what you do, people are not going to receive you for who you are. That's full-blown rejection. I'm just telling you what I'm hearing God say. God wants to get rid of this spirit today so that he can use you for his glory and his honor in all of his fullness. So the altar is open if you really want God's glory light to shine upon your soul and remove that spirit of rejection.